I think it's like very beautiful that you were able to take such immense loss and make a difference in the world. Not saying that...
Tearing up!
One of the questions she asked me was, you know, like, what do you miss about your dad? And...
Sorry, I thought I wasn't just gonna
two,
cry.
Just two teary gals.
Hello and welcome to Voice Hugs, a podcast on becoming your best self and embracing all seasons of life with open arms. This is your host, Vivian and Rowena.
Hi, everyone.
So... we've gotten a lot of questions over the years, myself personally, and also with this podcast, on the topic of grief. And it is something that's near and dear to both of our hearts. It's something that we've gone through and are currently going through. And it's objectively not the easiest topic to talk about. So I'm personally very excited that we're both ready at the same time to talk about this big thing. That isn't really a big thing, but it is a big thing.
It is a big thing. And I think that for me, in the last year, because this is something that's so new, this was something that I wanted to wait to talk about. And I think more recently, specifically in 2023, it's what we've talked about where like your body is communicating to you when or when it's not ready, right? And I think that kind of goes along with processing grief as well. And so I'm personally very excited to talk about this with Ro, especially because our timeline with grief has been very different in the sense that I think what you will be sharing about happened to you plus 10 years ago versus for me, this was something that recently happened last year. And so it will be really cool to see just, you know, what is shared, what your process has been like, what mine has been like, and learn from each other how to be a better friend for someone who's going through grief or like processing that.
Be a better care team.
Yeah.
And even though both of our experiences are very unique to us, I feel like grief, we've all gone through grief over the past, I don't know, 3 years since the pandemic. Like, no matter if it's grieving your past or grieving this person that you were, if it's actually grieving loss or grieving anything, I feel like no matter how big or small things are, grief is a universal feeling. So no matter what you're going through, know that it is valid.
All right, so let's start with your story of grief and when it happened for you, what happened, and maybe what that was like at that time when you first experienced it and how that impacted your life.
Oh man, it impacted everything and it changed everything. I feel like, should I just read an excerpt from my journal? Because yeah. I feel like it can help paint a very, very good picture. I might cry. I was reading it earlier and I was about to cry, but I think I'll just read it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So this event happened when I was 17, and I wrote this as a 20-year-old. 3 years ago today, who would have thought? There's nothing else in the world that I want more than to be able to sit down and talk. Sit and talk with you one last time. I'm trying to be reasonable. That's not too much to ask for, right? I want you to see how far I've come. I want to see how proud you would be of me. I want you to see how deeply you have inspired me, moved me, changed me for the better, forever. I want to ask you a mind full of questions. I want to reminisce about the nights where we had impromptu live talks plopped right on my bed. The time you swore I sliced your finger open, fighting over the mint green Karopi scissors. The time you bawled because you thought I was going to die with a Lego stuck up my left nostril. I want to giggle about how strangely naive and impeccably childish I was. I want to apologize for being a pain in the ass 98% of the time. I want to thank you for shaping me into the strong and independent woman that I am today, the loving and dutiful daughter, the genuine and honest friend. I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. I want to see that signature gleaming smile of yours. And I guess, after all this, I really just want one last suffocating bear hug. So much has changed, Clemmy. I miss you. So this is my brother. And this happened, how many years ago now? 2009? Like 14 years ago? Wow. And I wrote this 11 years ago. Wow. I think, like, the beauty of, like, pen and paper and documenting your life in this way is I feel everything that's being written in here, and I remember so clearly the person that I was and where I was at this time. And it's strange at the same time because it's almost like I'm looking at someone completely different. Because although I did write this, yeah, I think like over time, over 10 years, I've also grown a lot. But it's beautiful to have a documentation of the different mind spaces and the different thoughts that I've had throughout the years. Because, yeah, I think, like, I don't know, growing up, I've always prided myself, like, I have a sharp memory, I'm gonna remember everything. But now that, like, we're in our 30s, I was like, yeah, some things are turning fuzzy. It's, you know, the things that aren't as top of mind, front of mind, you're not really gonna remember. But overall, I feel, this is something my coach said to me, and I'm going to say it to my younger self. I feel very tender towards my younger self. I am very proud, even more proud now, looking back at how strong and independent I was, like the two words that I used. I mean, yeah, we'll get into this more later, but I see so much of, like, everything makes sense. The person that I am today, the, you know, inner voices, the things that are sometimes holding me back, the things that are pushing me, it's all in here, mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
So at the time that this happened, so right now we were just talking about 23 years after that happened, your journal entry, when everything first happened, how did you make sense of your new world? Because everything changed, right? The moment you lost your brother, nothing went back to what it used to be. And so how did you make sense of that as a 17-year-old?
For as much as everything changed, I felt like I lived as if nothing's changed, if that makes sense. I literally went back to school the next day, even though I was feeling like completely hollow and vacant inside. And I don't know, I think when you're 17, you don't know that you can take time to grieve, or you can take time for yourself, or to take a week off to be with family. But I think because of how shocked maybe we all were, including my parents, that my dad left relatively soon to go back to work as well. And I think it's just how my family dealt with it, like between my parents and I. And I think we're all just objectively pretty independent people emotionally and also life. We would rather figure things out on our own than to potentially burden each other. Or at least that's how I thought. And I think because the very front of mind thought for me was like, okay, well, now that my brother's not here, he was older. There's this, like, Chinese saying that, like, if the sky falls, mom and dad are there to, like, hold it up. And then if mom and dad aren't there, then for me, there's my brother. And so by the time, because I'm like the youngest, I'm like, not a care in the world. And I think that's how I've been living most of my life. But at 17, this is the first time where I was like, oh, well, you know, now that my brother's not here, it's kind of like the responsibility is now falling onto me to be that child, dutiful, respectful, loving, caring child to my parents. Not that I wasn't, but it's even more front of mind. And so I think my objective and my focus during that time was to just be strong for my parents, be strong for my family, because someone had to. I don't know if it's like I didn't want to seem weak or I didn't want to whatever, but a thing that came to mind was I also want to show my peers that something so tragic can happen to you, but it is up to you to decide how to react to it. And so I think this like vision of strength just clouded my vision for better or for worse, and I just went on autopilot.
Yeah.
Of not feeling, because to be able to live with this, I didn't allow myself to feel.
I know that this happened at a very young age, and it's also very interesting to hear how this impacted your parents and how they dealt with it at that time, right? Losing a child. And I don't think it makes sense why, like, something so big, losing someone in your life in that way, that is so, so painful that even for me, when something like this happens, my first reaction is, let's fix things. Let's make things better. Let's do something to make it better. Let's not cry in front of my parents because I don't want them to be sad. Let's show people that, like, I can handle it, you know, so that everyone else around me feels comfortable. They don't feel pity for me, or like I'm showing that, like, I'm okay, when the reality is, like, you're not okay. But I think part of that phase in the loss is also just not knowing how to be okay with not being okay, right? Like, taking time as a 17-year-old or taking time as a 30-year-old, I think it's never easy. I think it was probably a lot more confusing for you at the time because your identity was just so, like, fresh, you know, like, you're still learning about yourself.
It was non-existent.
Yeah, like, you're a baby. You're 17. Yeah, so I can see how that really shaped your path at that time instead of, and I loved what you said, how, like, that need to be strong clouded your vision for better or for worse and just really prevented you from allowing yourself to feel the grief at the time, right? I always hear about the 5 stages of grief, and I actually don't know what the 5 stages are. Do you? It's like, I think you made a video about this a while ago.
I did. Okay, it's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. I think I jumped to acceptance, yes. Like.
So, like, that to me is also interesting because the denial part, I don't know how much of, like, avoiding feeling the sadness or the grief is me being in denial, or, like, even for you, right? Like, jumping to acceptance, like, Do you feel like you went through all 5 stages? Or, because I know in the past you've also mentioned, as you said, you kind of just jumped straight to acceptance because your brother was no longer here. So, like, what else were you going to do about it?
Yeah, I think that was it. I think because if you look at I'm going to look at the 5 stages. The denial part is, like, there's nothing to deny. Like, it's, you know, like, there's nothing I can do to bring this person back. For anger, I was like, anger is not going to solve anything. To bargain, there's literally nothing to bargain with. I actually probably jumped straight into depression and acceptance. I think I was already a little bit depressed at that time. And yeah, towards the end of high school was when I, like, started going through a lot of, you know, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. So I think that may have already been there lingering. And then with this, it's just like, it just went straight to depression, acceptance, mm-hmm. like combined.
Yeah.
Because to me, in my mind is, yeah, what else can you do? Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can physically do to fix this situation in a sense where, like, I can bring someone back. But I think this is interesting because in your situation, the context of grief is similar, but it's also different. Mm-hmm. Can you help us paint a picture?
To kind of paint a picture, my parents divorced when I was 5 and my mom remarried when I was 10. So I've known my stepdad since I was like 7, I think. I pretty much grew up with him. He was a huge father figure role in my life. And in December of 2021, my dad had this kind of freak accident where something infected his brain and he lost a huge chunk of his memory and isn't able to form new memories. So I think the best way I could describe that is if you've watched 50 First Dates or Finding Nemo, in 50 First Dates, Drew Barrymore's character refreshes her memory every 24 hours and it almost is like she has to start anew. And then in Finding Nemo, Dory has very bad short-term memory. And so every 5 minutes, Dory will ask the same questions over and over again. And so essentially what happened with my dad, my stepdad, who I also call my dad, he had lost his memory and he lost like the last 20 years of his life, which is the 20 years of relationship that I had with my stepdad.
20 years worth of memory of his life.
Of memory, yes. So if I was to ask him, hey, like what college should I go to? He could not remember. And then forming new memories, he couldn't form as well. So meeting my boyfriend, for example, he can't remember after like every 10 minutes. He'll know that like this person's in the room, but it's hard to like put the thoughts and like connect it together. My stepdad is also very young. I would consider him young. He's 54. And so we had this like plan for the future, right? And I'm sure like even with your brother, you have all these hopes and dreams for your life together. And so part of the grieving process for me, and it was interesting because I didn't physically lose my stepdad, he's still here, but I had to grieve the loss of who he was, the role that he played in my life as one of like the safer like parental figures in my life, and then also like the loss of the future that we could have had together with him being like healthy.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I asked you the question about like the 5 stages of grief. I was in full denial for like the first 6 months. And the week that he went into the hospital was the week that we started Voice Hugs podcast. And so when you look back at how Voice Hugs kind of like happened last year, it makes so much sense that I jumped straight into work and, you know, like I need to find meaning in my life. I need to make my life meaningful because this happened to my stepdad and he gave me so much for me to like make an impact on the world. And I kind of hear that similarity with you where it's like, because your brother passed away at such a young age, you feel like it's your responsibility to live both of, you know, like a life for him and then a life for yourself and to like make good in the world. I think that's something that's common when someone experiences loss. You need to like reflect and figure out, oh my God, like what is life now? Everything's changed. I need to find meaning. I need to hold on to something that will make this loss meaningful for everyone and make it meaningful for them because it's unfair that they've lost what they've lost. I guess for me, I was in denial for a long time. I was very angry about the situation, and that's where I would take it out on my boyfriend sporadically. And he didn't, you know, like it was just really tough for everybody last year. And then I fell into like a huge depression by the end of the year. So I definitely do think that I went through the stages. But I do want to point out that I don't think these stages are linear. And that's something that I'm curious to ask you about, too, is that because so much time has passed, can you go in and out of the depression, right? Like, same thing with your acceptance. Like, you accept it, but then do you ever revert back to like, well, this is kind of unfair. Like, this is not, and then you feel angry, you know? Like, what has that experience been like for you?
I think within all of these feelings, there's also deeper layers of each feeling. It's like, it's hard because it's feelings, right? And then I was going to say you can choose what to spend more time and energy on. And I think because I was in a place where I've already accepted, at least surface level for the most part, there's nothing to really make sense of, at least for the situation, right? There's not much I can be angry about. There's not much I can be in denial about. There's not much that I can try to bargain for because it is what it is. I think I naturally move towards acceptance pretty quickly, and I try to focus on how can I accept this, I guess, even more deeply. And as you said, it's like when something like this happens, you tend to throw yourself to either distract yourself or to busy yourself and to also try to find meaning out of why this happened. And I think that was my journey for the 4, 5, 6 years that followed, where I was, you know, we're in college, you're partying it up. Maybe I'm speaking for myself because Viv not so much, or not a, definitely not as much as I did. But I think I definitely threw myself into this lifestyle because I was simultaneously still trying to avoid while I was grappling with, okay, but like, what does this all mean? Like, why are we here as humans? If someone can come into this world just as quickly as they leave it, like, you know, is this thing that we've been sold our whole lives? I even wrote it in my journal. I just read it of like, you know, okay, I go to a good college, I graduate, I marry my best friend, we have beautiful babies, we have a beautiful house, and then I grow old and die. Like, is that it? And I think that was just like the thing that was like, but there should be more. And I think my personal journey took the path of spirituality. And the more I leaned into it, the more that I think it kind of gave back to me. I think I've shared this on the podcast before. I've definitely shared it on YouTube, where one day coming home, I was reading like a scripture of my spiritual practice, and it wasn't even anything that I read, but a thought just popped up in my mind where I was like, okay, what if you and your brother in a past life signed a pact together that in this life he would depart before you so that you, as Rowena, can accomplish what both of you guys sought out to do together. And I think in that moment, it really was this like colossal turning point where I think up until that point, like I'm human. Like we all still have emotions. So like I would still get sad from time to time, like crippling crying that like I never knew you can humanly hurt so much from crying so hard. Like that was previously. So I think like depression, like it was fully there, but over time was able to pull out of it. And this moment of clarity, ever since that turning point, whenever I would think about my brother, whenever I think about what happened, it wouldn't necessarily be like a happy thing, but I think I was able to reframe it to a positive, encouraging, motivating thing than anything else that it may have been before. Yeah.
Maybe because this is still new for me, like a recent thing, it's like so hard for me to envision myself not being in denial, like right now still, and like not feeling angry. Like what happened has happened, but I feel stuck in some of these feelings. I guess like what I'm getting from this is that everyone processes it so differently, and there is no wrong or right way. And I think like when the loss happens, there are so many factors that play into how you're going to process that, whether it's age, whether it's a sibling, a parent, a pet, how they impacted your life, and how you're going to make sense of that. And so I think it's like very beautiful that you were able to take such immense loss and make it something in your life that became so meaningful, so driving, like, for you. And also, like, with that, make a difference in the world. Not saying that...
Tearing up!
Not saying that everyone's loss has to result in that, you know? But I think, like, you were so young, and I think there's a lot of... like, love we can give to that young Rowena, and just, like, being tender with her as well. I often hear you say, like, you don't have to, what is it, like, carry the world on your shoulder, like, by yourself. And I think that is still very much true. Like, even just, like, the way that you're describing everything and, like, how you processed it, it's, like, it's okay to take some time and give that... part of Rowena that, like, extra love, and yeah. not have to, like, you know, just, yeah, yeah. I think grief is really hard. And you know, another thing, you know, like, thank you so much for sharing all of this. And obviously, this is a very intimate, like, soft place right now in this conversation. I think it also goes to show that grief never fully leaves you. Like, the impact never... I don't know if it gets better. I think it is less intense, but I think the loss is always there, and you would just feel it a little bit differently. But, like, it never goes away, or at least that's how I feel right now. It's still really new for me, but yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to share?
No, I thought that what you said was very beautiful just now, of how grief never really goes away. And I think... how it stays with you, I believe that you can choose how it stays with you as well. If you want it to be a beautiful, harmonious thing in your life, I think we can turn it into that. We can also focus on the fact that it's not fair, and that something like this shouldn't have happened, and that, you know, they were such good people, and why do good things always happen to bad, or why do bad things always happen to good people? I think that is also very valid, right? But I think if we follow that train of thought, it's also very clear the type of burden and the type of emotions that we'll be holding on to will also be very different. And I think, like, the word that I just used, burden, I actually think it's very, it, like, paints the picture very well, because even though I've chose to see it as, like, a positive thing, and I've learned to live in harmony with it, it's still something that has driven me to be the person that I am today. And I may even say that it has... maybe been a burden in my life, where I felt that I had to live for two people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, maybe it was the pact that we made. Maybe it was realizing that I'm the only kid left for my parents, whatever that pressure was still very, and it still is to this day, very, very front of mind, that drives a lot of, like, my inner motivations, the way I do things, the fact that I feel like I'm not doing enough and that I'm not enough as a person. So I think in this way, it, as you said in the beginning, it completely changes you. It completely changes your life. And I think, like, that's just a byproduct of what it is. Like, these big life events happen, and it'll completely reshape or shape the way, you know, shape the people that we are today. But I still feel like we can choose how it shapes us, I guess, or, like, how we choose to process and handle. At the end of the day, everyone deals with it so differently. And I really don't think there's a right or wrong way to process it. Because for as quote unquote well as I thought I processed it, I'm still learning now that there's still so much that I haven't unpacked. And I'm learning 10 plus years removed that it's still impacting me in ways that I didn't know. And none of this is, like, good or bad. It's just, like, it is objectively what it is. And I think that's the beauty of life.
Yeah, I think that's something to point out and note too, is that like this conversation on this date and this year, this time for both of us in our lives is very specific to where we are in our personal journey of processing this grief or this loss. And so what you're saying today, what I'm saying today is definitely not necessarily what we would say 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You know, like if you watch the videos that you put out earlier on and how you talked about that grief and how you processed it, it's different than what you're saying now. Slightly different, not completely, but I think there's different takeaways. And I think that also just goes to show that depending on what phase you are in your grieving process, your mind will come up with ways to help you move forward. Whenever it is ready to or not ready to, your mind will automatically direct you in that way, because there's only so much that we can handle at once. And that's why you go into these, like, there are different coping mechanisms, right? Partying, drinking, throwing yourself into work. Those are ways that your body is processing the grief, because it's either not allowing you to like physically feel that pain, or you're just not ready for it.
It's protecting you from yourself.
Yeah. And so I think, like, with all of that being said, for someone who may be going through like this grieving process right now, even though we are all doing it on our own time and in our own way, what are some strategies or ways that have helped you over the years deal with it so that you're kind of processing it or processing it, you know? Because we don't want to just completely avoid it. It will come out in other ways. Yeah, what has helped you over time?
I would like to ask you that question.
Throwing it back to Viv.
Yeah, I feel like I've been talking so much. And I'd also love to first hear, where do you think you currently are on your grieving journey as well? And would you say you're still grieving?
I'm definitely still grieving. I recently went to Taiwan and I saw my stepdad there, and I think that was pretty hard. I've been having a hard time readjusting back to my routine since I've come back. I think that, like, if I was to pinpoint like where I am right now, I'm like somewhere in between, like, not as depressed as I was last year, a little bit, and then also still in denial. Whenever I'm not with my dad, I almost like forget that he exists. And my mind does that often. I think in the past when I've had relatives pass away, it's almost like my mind erases them from my memory, which is really interesting because they're like big people in my life, but like my mind literally erases my memories with them. So I'm still definitely like in it. This year compared to last year, I'm accepting it a lot more. I think I'm accepting it a lot more in that, like, now that I have more time to myself, I have to sit with those feelings and I have to like make peace with it a little bit more. But yeah, it's really tough. I think something that's also tough is that this impacts you almost every day. Like, you think about this loss in some way, shape, or form every day. But sometimes it feels like the rest of the world is moving on as if like nothing has happened, but like your world has changed. And something that I realized with like friends even is that, like, a lot of times people ask me like, hey, how's your dad doing? But they don't always ask you like, oh, how are you doing? And that's something that I wouldn't have known to do for a friend who is grieving if I had not experienced that myself. I feel like I'm rambling a bit, but
no, I think it's like, just to follow up on what you're saying, you mentioned how you've been able to move towards a more accepting place. What do you think happened, or did anything change, or did you do anything to kind of shift?
I think I had to like really cry it out, and I wasn't really crying it out intentionally the first half of last year. And I don't know if you remember from a few episodes ago, I was talking about how every time I saw a friend, I would cry and I would try to hold it in because I'm like, I don't want to cry right now, but it's like coming out. And I think like one of the first things was like, Viv, you just need to be sad about it. Like, you just need to let yourself cry. And if you can cry with someone else, that's even better. Because as vulnerable and as crappy as you feel crying in front of someone, after you're done, you feel seen. And rewind a little bit. Cry in front of someone who can actually hold space for you. Because not everyone feels comfortable with someone else's grief. And I've definitely experienced that where I've told a friend, like, I think I'm really depressed right now. And she just like switched the conversation to something else. And I was like, okay, this is not because she doesn't love me. It's because like she's having a hard time dealing with like my big feelings. And so for me, like one of the biggest things is like crying it out to the people that you know can hold that space for you. People who have experienced loss before can relate a little bit better to you. Going to therapy. And I think like also like remembering them. Something that like really helped me was sometimes like I remember my supervisor, she had experienced grief and loss. And one of the questions she asked me was, you know, like, what do you miss about your dad? And
voice hugs to Viv. I wish I can give you a real hug.
I think like when you were reading your journal entry, you're having like a conversation with your brother, right? And you're like, I wish I could do these things. I miss when you're on the bed with me, or I miss like these conversations that we had. I think you have to like talk about that and share that with other people, or like say it out loud with yourself. Like, there have been so many nights where I pretend to talk to my dad and I just tell him like, I miss you. Yeah. Sorry, I thought I wasn't just gonna
two,
cry.
Just two teary gals.
Okay, hold on. This is a pretty accurate reflection of my life right now. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like having those conversations is important, and remembering them and like celebrating what was, grieving what was. And it's okay to feel sad about like the future. Like, I think about when I have kids and I'm like, I don't know if my stepdad's gonna remember them every time he meets them. It's kind of like The Notebook, you know, when she doesn't recognize her own kids. And so you just have to like think about those things and make peace with it. Not like, for me, it's not so much like, well, what am I gonna do about it? It's more so like, okay, this is what you're sad about, and let's just be sad about it for a little bit, and you will adjust to a new life with this loss. And that is a part of life, like you said. Like, that is the part of life. Like, you will experience loss in life no matter who you are. We've all experienced loss. For sure, you know, even just with the pandemic, like, you lost the life that you had previously. And so for me, it's probably just going through it and like letting yourself go through it and giving yourself grace and patience when you are going through it, or when you're not going through it. Like, don't push yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was very beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening.
I'm a puddle. In moments where you are having a conversation, even if it's with yourself about what you'll miss about your dad, how do you usually feel after? Like, is it a cathartic experience? Is it, like, do you leave feeling lighter?
I always feel better, 100%. Like, as sad as it is in the moment, and as, like, you know, it's like you said, like, you don't know that you can physically hurt from crying so much. Like, you can't even breathe from your nose sometimes. And you're like, I might die myself.
Or even your mouth. You can't breathe from both any crevice.
And then you can't see as well, right? Everything is just kind of blurry and your eyes are puffy. But as much as I hate crying and, like, going through that, every single time I go through it, I say what I want to say out loud, I always feel like something just, like, lifted off my chest. Like, it always feels better. Every time I've cried in front of a friend, as crappy as it feels in the moment and as much as I don't want to be a burden to them, I always feel more supported, more cared for most of the time by my friends.
Aww.
Yeah.
Big hugs. Yeah.
Big hugs.
I think what you said earlier about just allowing yourself to go where you know you need to go, whether that is, I think there'll be moments where you can't face it. And it's not healthy to face it when you can't face it. Just like how if you can face it, but you're like choosing not to and you're running away. I think it's like the two extremes. So to really allow yourself the space, the grace, and I think being aware enough about where you are and being honest with yourself of like, I can do it, but I'm running away, or I can't do it, so it's okay to revisit at a later time. I think that's probably like the number one most important thing I would say. Yeah, whether it is talking it out loud to yourself, whether it is writing it down, whether it is talking to friends, I think so long as you have some sort of an outlet to express things that you've been bottling up, I think that can make all the difference. Because we talk about this all the time, and you even said it just now, of even though some of us may feel like we need to hold the burden of the world on our own shoulders, like we don't need to suffer alone, you know, especially because, again, as we've been saying, like, literally we've all gone through some sort of loss, and so it's okay and we will be okay. And more often than not, our friends will be able to at least empathize with us in these moments. Mm-hmm. yeah
definitely be patient with yourself. I think, like, we all know that we're gonna be okay. For the most part, I think everyone knows we're going to be okay. But when you get there, like, is on your own time, you know? Like, sometimes I feel like, oh, because this happened to my dad a year ago, maybe people think I'm fine now. And even you, right? It's like, oh, because this happened to you 14 years ago, maybe she's totally fine now. And she's, like, not thinking about it as much anymore. But that's... could be true, might not be true, you know, like, I think it still lives with you. And just like you said, even after all these years, it still comes out in ways that you didn't even know it existed in you in that way. So being patient with yourself and having hope, I think, that things will get better. Yeah. Or things will be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of our favorite books, Man's Search for Meaning, hope is the key to also make sense of our suffering, or if we're able to find meaning through our suffering.
Meaning. Yeah.
Through any of the adversities that we face. Mm-hmm. Tying it back to care teams and how you didn't realize yourself that, you know, sometimes when friends would ask you, how's your dad doing, but they don't ask how Viv is doing, what are some other ways that you've learned of how friends can support you better as you're grieving?
So this is something that my boyfriend actually did a lot in the beginning. And he would keep saying, like, your dad's going to get better. Like, things are going to get better. It's okay. Like, have hope, have faith that, you know, his brain damage is going to undamage itself. Or also that, like, you're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And I know we just literally said this, but I think this is kind of in a different context, in that in the moment when I'm crying and I'm, like, really sad, I already know things are going to be, like, I know I'm going to live tomorrow, you know, like, I know I'm going to move forward in my life. I have no choice but to live, you know, but I think, like, in the moment, what has helped me the most, and this is something that he has recently done with me, and I felt a huge shift in our relationship as well, is saying that, like, you know what, things are really crappy, but I'm here with you. I will be here with you. No matter what, and, like, whatever happened in the past, whatever loss you've experienced, whatever pain you're going through now, I will be next to you and I will support you. And I might not understand how hard it is for you. I can't understand. I'm not in your shoes, right? But no matter what, I will hold your hand and I will always be here in whatever way I can, and in whatever way that, like, you need me to be. And something as simple as saying, like, I support you, I am here with you, that makes a huge difference in someone's, like, moment when they are feeling so defeated or so sad about something. Yeah, you don't really want to fix it for them. And I know a lot of, we love going to fix it mode, right? Like, I'm going to help you feel better by showing you a brighter future. Yeah. But it is just sitting in that space with them for that time, you know, and trust that they're not going to be in that space forever. So you don't have to fix it. It's not your job to fix it either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That was very beautiful. Go, boyfriend.
I mean, he didn't say it the way that I said it, but that's how I took it.
And that's what's most important.
Yeah, that's how I took it. It was like one sentence for him. And then we both teared up right when he said it. And aww. I was like, okay, done.
Okay, that's all I need. Thank you. I just threw my jacket back on backwards to hug me because I feel like we all need a hug right now.
We need a hug right now.
Yeah. I think for me, the main thing that I found is, like, we're all humans going through our lives doing our best, right? And so, as you said, you know, sometimes you'll bring it up to a friend, and then because they don't know how to respond, they'll change the conversation, things like that, right? I think throughout the past 14 years, whenever I bring up my brother, you know, I've gotten a spectrum of different responses. For the most part, like, they're all very positive, or, like, I can tell. It's never because they don't care that they respond the way they do. It's always because they do care, and sometimes they care so much that they freeze and they don't know how to react. So they say something different, or they, like, take the conversation a different way. A little thing for me is, like, when I tell people and they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. In my mind, I'm like, you're fine. You don't need to be sorry. Like, you didn't do anything. It wasn't you. But I think, like, you know, being with James and understanding more of why people feel sorry, it's like they're not feeling sorry about that necessarily, but maybe it's because, like, that you had to go through what you need to go through. So I think that's something that I'm learning. Mm-hmm. But I think I just didn't like people looking at me, like, sympathetically, because I think, like, sympathy is different from empathy. Empathy is, like, I feel you, I see you, and, like, you know, and I think sympathy, or maybe even, like, pity, it's more like, oh, like, that's sad, and, you know, like, I feel, you know, like, I don't know, I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I'm fine, you know, like, things will be fine, it's okay, I'm just sharing because I want you to know that this is something that's important to me. But going back to understanding now that everyone's just trying to react and converse in the best way that they know how. I also never take people's response too seriously, because if I feel comfortable enough opening up to someone about this, for the most part, they're good people, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. One last thing, like, exactly what you said of, like, you know, we now know that other people respond in the way that they know how. I think it's also important to remember the reverse of people grieve in the way they know how. And mm-hmm. so a lot of times we judge people for what they're doing in their life, right? And sometimes, like, honestly, I feel like the whole last year I was operating out of, like, trying to survive my, like, own brain and my feelings. And to remember that, like, you don't know what someone is going through if they're not talking about their loss, if they're not talking about their grief. It doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean that they even know that they're going through it, or that, like, they're not going through it. So just, again, like, focus on yourself, take care of yourself, don't judge other people, don't judge yourself, and just letting yourself, like, just giving yourself grace, like, wherever you are in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you just said just brought up something for me. So I don't really think about high school, or, like, unless they're my high school friends, I don't really think about, like, people of my past. And a few years ago, one of my high school besties told me that people had thoughts about how I was grieving about my brother and how it was weird that I seemed so fine. And I'm not someone who gets moved easily by what people say, but in that moment, I was so pissed, because I was like, but you don't know what truly was going on behind closed doors. And had you known, or had you just asked, you would have seen what was kind of, like, behind closed doors. And so, you know, at the same time, it's like, yes, don't judge other people. But then where I am now, I'm also like, well, yeah, they also didn't know better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all in our teens, early 20s. People say silly things when they're young. I've said silly things when I was young, I'm sure. But yeah,
not even not when you're young. Like, people say really silly things now.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, not us, but, like, just, like, in general, like, the world, we talk about our youth in that way. But, like, I read comments recently on, like, people's stuff, and I'm like, people are mean. Like, people are just judging left and right.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So just do you, boo-boos. Embrace all seasons of life with open arms, okay?
Yes.
We're on this together, okay?
Yes. And if you are currently going through grief or experiencing loss, we are here for you. And we have experienced some form of that as well. So you are not alone in those feelings. You can always reach out to us if you feel comfortable. Our email is hello@voicehugspodcast.com, or you can shoot us a DM at @hellovoicehugs. Gosh darn it, I always do that. at Voice Hugs Podcast. And sending everyone lots of love, lots of voice hugs, lots of big bear hugs. Put a jacket over yourself like this.
I know, a sweater hug. And with the sweater over your body, if you guys feel so inclined, and if you guys have enjoyed our conversation, you can leave us a little review for the podcast, wherever you're listening to, Apple, Spotify, anywhere. It'll help us reach even more people with our beautiful message.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
I was like, did I just say our message is beautiful?
With, you'll help reach every people with hugs.
Yes. More love. More love.
More
hugs. Less drugs.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day wherever you are in the world. Voice hugs. Voice hugs. Bye.